2015, UCSF School of Nursing professor Audrey Linden described what a burned-out clinician looks like. "Imagine an emotionally exhausted clinician," she writes, "overwhelmed by the work to the point of feeling fatigued, unable to face the demands of the job, and unable to engage with others. Fatigue, exhaustion, and detachment coalesce. A clinician no longer feels effective at work because they have lost a sense of their ability to contribute meaningfully." Welcome to Steps to Value, the HIMSS podcast that looks at people and processes, information and technology as they work together to transform the delivery of healthcare. In today's episode, we discuss the growing problem of clinical burnout with Anne O'Brien, clinical informatics pioneer and recent recipient of HIMSS's Most Influential Women in Health IT Award. Today, Anne discusses the impact healthcare consumerism has on clinical burnout, the promise and the present of big data in healthcare, and what it was like to first encounter and interact with an EHR system back when Paula Abdul, Michael Bolton, and Vanilla Ice ruled the airwaves. All that and more coming up.
If you're a high-achieving executive in a HIMSS-Davies Award-winning or MRAM Stage 7 organization, you'll want to join your peers in the HIMSS Executive Institute. This community of leaders shares knowledge and experience to inform HIMSS initiatives like the MRAM, Davies 2.0, and the HIMSS Value Suite, and they come together to understand, achieve, and promote optimal value from the use of IT in a health setting. Learn more at hims.org/HEI.
Anne O'Brien is a recognized thought leader in nursing informatics and clinical transformation. She is a Robert Wood Johnson Executive Nurse Fellow and a fellow at HIMSS. She's also one of the recipients of the 2018 Most Influential Women in Health IT Award. Anne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
So, Anne, we've seen over the last decade or so a really profound transformational change in the way that healthcare is being delivered and being consumed. From your perspective, how have those changes positively impacted clinicians and how have they negatively impacted clinicians?
Well, what I would start with is that the current transition to value-based care has radically transformed healthcare, and there's now much more of a focus on clinical outcomes and population health. At the same time, multiple IT factors are also influencing that paradigm, such as the evolution of electronic health records, clinical decision support, and more emphasis on social determinants of health. So we have this juncture of both positive and some challenging impacts. From the positive side, there's no doubt that electronic health records can, in some ways, improve safety. They do provide the opportunity for many checks and balances in the system in terms of ensuring that it's the right person and the right procedure. And through clinical decision support, clinicians can have guidance to ensure that they're meeting expectations related to evidence-based practice and things like barcoding for med administration has dramatically increased medication safety. And then also things like predictive analytics can predict sepsis or early detection of patient deterioration up to 10 to 12 hours before the patient would be decompensating. So many, many positives for the clinician as well as for the patient. In terms of some of the challenges, there's a lot of emphasis right now on clinician burden, because there is a sense from physicians and nurses that there's too much required for documentation input and less that they're really getting back in terms of that knowledge at the point of care. So this new documentation burden is actually being studied by the Office of the National Coordinator, CNS, American Nursing Association, and many physician groups as well. So that is an impact on the processes and the workload of the clinician. Our current technology and electronic health records and the emphasis towards more and more virtual care has also lengthened the days. So, for example, a physician could work all day and then potentially go home and do another 3 hours of just answering email for routine checks. And so the consumer has a lot more benefits in terms of, do they want an in-person visit, a telephone visit, a video visit, or do you want to email your doctor? But that does put additional burden in terms of time on the clinician. And also, I would add that patients are sicker in terms of how we are seeing them in the hospital because we are in sort of an epidemic of obesity and diabetes. And so the combination of electronic health records, virtual care, and the consumers having so much choice has created both benefits and additional burdens for all clinicians.
So you mentioned clinical burden and the amount of documentation that clinicians are having to operate in a space where these chronic diseases are creating so much data to collect in terms of being able to heal around them. How do you think the industry's grappled with the debate between could we collect this data and should we collect this data?
Well, I think that we're having more and more emphasis on data. So should we collect the data if we know how to utilize it, mine it, and organize it? The answer to that question is that big data science right now is still in its infancy. So we have a lot of tools, but we don't have all of the sophisticated interoperability and opportunities to convert that data. So if someone wants to send in all of the information off of their smartwatch every single day, the physician doesn't need 5,000 blood pressures. What they need is to have intelligent tools to make sure that that's being organized in a way that the information is actionable for the clinician. And that's the balance. We have big data, but we don't have perfect big data analytics to deliver the exact right information at the right time for the clinician to be able to use that. So we're still developing tools to make that work, both from a genetic and genomics and social determinants of health. The Internet of Things exists, but capitalizing on all of that data for the Internet of Things is still fairly complex. And we're not quite at the point where the physician or the nurse practitioner or the community health educator can have that be organized in a way that's personalized, meaningful, and actionable.
You mentioned, Anne, the new world that the healthcare consumer is living in and the opportunities around personal health analytics and the like. And I go back and forth with the way that our outside consumer expectations from outside the healthcare industry, how they impact the consumption of healthcare products and services. Is it fair for us to compare the way that we purchase and consume healthcare to the way that we purchase and consume a sweater or a book?
Well, unfortunately, I believe that the smartphone and the smart device has shifted us into a new world that, yes, that makes it fair because everyone can not only purchase a sweater or a pair of shoes immediately, but they're also going online and getting all kinds of information and sometimes misinformation on the internet. So it is fair. It's here now. And the smartphone revolution has, again, provided many options to the consumer in terms of personalized care, telephone visits, send in an email or a photo of what something looks like. And that telehealth has improved collaboration and ultimately will decrease cost. But again, we're in that messy in the middle where we don't have the most sophisticated systems. And so most healthcare plans, providers, and large healthcare managed care organizations, as well as hospital systems, are really trying to figure out what is the best type of visit so that individual consumer, patient, or family member feels that they're receiving the best care possible at that time, whether it's 11 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's challenging, even though tools and video and remote monitoring in the home and augmented intelligence, it's all there, but we're still looking for planning and building systems that actually get it right for the consumer at the time that they need it with the correct modality for the level of care that that consumer or family member needs at that time.
Well, Anne, hoping we could change direction a little bit in terms of our conversation. As I mentioned in the opening, you're one of the recipients of the 2018 Most Influential Women in Health IT Award. And I'm wondering if you could share a little bit with our listeners your background. How did you first get into health IT?
Well, I was a master's prepared nurse by background in maternal child nursing and was working as a nurse educator at a tertiary care children's hospital in the early 90s. And that hospital was building a new hospital from the ground up and actually wanted to have no paper and wanted to have a full electronic health record in 1991. So that seems pretty amazing now, 26 years later, but that was my experience. Me as the nurse educator had to take that project and learn about electronic health records and clinical documentation and how to convert our very large flow sheets and paper physician orders into an electronic health record. So I was pushed into what is now clinical informatics, but I'm thrilled to say that I really appreciate health information technology and over the last 25 years have really worked on the implementation, optimization, and transformation of EHR data. And we're starting to actually see the impact of true improvement in quality, safety, patient experience, and now the quadruple aim of also the clinician experience.
So, Anne, from your perspective, from the start of your experience in health IT till now, how do you see the environment for women within the industry? How has it changed since you began in the industry? What challenges have we overcome? What challenges still remain?
Well, one of the significant changes is I'm a nurse by background, and 20, 30 years ago, it was over 95% female. And now, because salaries have increased so much, we have many, many more men in nursing and nursing leadership. This has helped in terms of improving the equality between physicians and nurses, because there's more female physicians and there's many more men in nursing. And so that gender gap is no longer there, that 40, 50 years ago, the physician was male and the nurse was female. So that has helped a lot, and salaries have helped that. What hasn't changed much is that there's still a gender inequality as it relates to compensation. So in 2018, HIMSS did a compensation survey and found that females in health information technology are making about 18% less than their male peers, and minorities make about 12% less than non-minorities. And you'd think that executives would be better off, but in fact, it's just the opposite. As females get more advanced and hit the executive level, that's where there's the largest gap between males and females. So I think we're on the transition, but we still have a ways to go, especially in terms of compensation.
We'll provide a link to that compensation survey on the landing page for this episode so our listeners can take a look at the data that you're talking about. We've got time for just a couple more questions. We talked a lot about leadership and the role that leaders play in mentoring future leaders. I'm wondering if you could speak for a few minutes about your own mentors. What was the best piece of advice that they gave you? And how does that align with advice that you share with others that you happen to be mentoring?
For me, I've had the benefit of having some great mentors within health care, within nursing, and within large leadership organizations such as the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Center for Creative Leadership. So I have been fortunate in having a lot of leadership development, especially in the last 10 years or so. I would say some of the best advice that I receive is to really understand your own heart and your own strengths. They say if you're doing what you love, you never work a day in your life. And I think if you can combine many things that you love in terms of your passion, it makes the days really feed your soul, if you will. Not every day is going to be easy, but I would say be true to yourself and find jobs that really serve to your strengths. And also, I would say what I recommend to folks is really work on resilience. So if you have certain things that you know are stressful, there's more and more evidence on resilience and making sure that you're taking care of your body. So people say, I never get 8 hours sleep, but in fact, that's one of the most important things you can do for your mood and your brain is to get between 6.5 and 8 hours sleep and getting enough good physical exercise. So I think taking care of yourself, taking care of your mind, doing a gratitude practice or a meditation or whatever is in your practice, but taking care of yourself allows you to really be your best regardless of your work and making that significant impact on those around you and your own team.
We have one last question for you. It's a question we ask all of our interviewees. This is a podcast that focuses on the relationship between humans and technology. From your perspective, what's your favorite technological invention and what impact do you think it's had on our culture? It doesn't have to be in healthcare.
I think it would have to be the smartphone. And again, I think I've had the luxury of being in healthcare and in nursing for over 3 decades. And to see the ability of the smartphone to be able to bring knowledge to the point of care And then also in terms of our personal life, be able to instantaneously see what someone else is seeing when they send you a video halfway across the world. That level of connection is unprecedented, and I think it truly has changed the world.
Well, Anne O'Brien is a recent recipient of the 2018 Most Influential Women in Health IT Award, and thank you so much for joining us today on Steps of Value.
Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Barb Cousineau. I bring value to HIMSS organizational affiliates by making sure they get the most out of their OA program benefits. You're listening to Steps to Value.
How has the digital transformation of healthcare impacted your experience as a clinician? How does your organization work to alleviate clinician burnout? Send us a note as a voicemail or an email, and we'll play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value at hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Anne O'Brien, clinical informatics pioneer and recent recipient of HIMSS's Most Influential Women in Health IT Award, for sharing her valuable insights on the impact clinical burnout can have on patients and providers alike. Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology, with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology so they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative, forward-thinking around the best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and lowered cost of care. Steps to Value is co-produced by Rob Pahowski. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Adam Baser, and we hope you join us next time on Steps to Value.